a good chance for the two major countries in Asia to get together and try to create some positive momentum.
Traditional Asian rivals agree to work together. It's Tuesday, April 17th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Hello and welcome. We're on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, how a missile attack in Syria might affect U.S.-North Korean talks. North Korean workers seem to find ways into China. Australia's military deals with mental health concerns. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Traditional rivals Japan and China said they agreed to improve ties and affirmed the need to abide by UN Security Council resolutions that call on North Korea to abandon its nuclear program. Japanese Foreign Affairs Minister Taro Kono met in Tokyo with his Chinese counterpart Wang Yi, who called for talks on macroeconomic policies, economic cooperation, the One Belt, One Road initiative, and East Asian economic integration. He said he hopes both countries can develop understanding, trust, and cooperation by deepening communication on a strategic and practical level. Asian Studies professor Jeff Kingston of Tokyo's Temple University tells VOA's Victor Beatty, bilateral ties have been in the deep freeze since Prime Minister Shinzo Abe came to power in 2012.
And the two countries have been at odds over their rival claims for the Senkaku Diaoyu Islands. They've been also at odds over their shared history. So a lot of observers believe that a good chance for the two major countries in Asia to get together and try to create some positive momentum. But clearly there are obstacles ahead.
Such as?
Well, there's been actually an increase of Chinese incursions into the seas around the Senkaku Islands this year. And during the meeting, Foreign Minister Wang pointedly referred to the need to stabilize the situation in the East China Sea. I don't think that that problem is going to go away, but I think it would be in the interest of both countries to return to the shelving accord that they previously had up until 2010.
They also talked about North Korea.
So I think Japan is very eager to enlist China's support for maximizing pressure on Pyongyang to come to the talks and to promote denuclearization. Also, I think Japan, in a way, has been marginalized from this diplomatic process.
Jeff, Prime Minister Abe, of course, travels to the U.S. this week to meet with President Trump. What might go on with that meeting?
Certainly, there's lots of things going on, but clearly, the bromance is on the rocks. Abe has nurtured a close relationship with President Trump. He has stroked his ego up and down. And suddenly, you know, Trump slaps tariffs on Japanese steel and aluminum. And the aim of the tariffs is actually China, but America's close allies, Japan and Canada, are actually going to suffer a lot more. So I think Abe is concerned that Trump is sort of handing over the baton of free trade, and he wants him to try to resolve his problems with China by other means.
Jeff Kingston said Japan is concerned a meeting between the United States and North Korean leaders will not address Japan's security regarding the North's nuclear arsenal or the fate of abducted Japanese by North Korea in the last century. It's a key political issue for Mr. Abe. These are among some of the top Asia stories currently trending on VOAnews.com. Consumers in China weigh options as trade frictions simmer. Former South Korean president will not appeal prison sentence. U.S. strike on Syria sends mixed messages to North Korea. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by the VOAnews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The recent U.S. missile strikes against Syria could increase pressure on North Korea to give up its nuclear weapons or reinforce in Pyongyang the need for nuclear deterrence. The United States, France, and Britain fired 105 missiles at three Syrian chemical weapons facilities Saturday in response to an alleged Syrian chemical weapons attack in the city of Douma that killed at least 40 people and wounded or sickened hundreds of others. The Syrian government has repeatedly denied any use of banned weapons. The combined military strike on Syria comes as the administration of U.S. President Donald Trump and the government of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un are preparing for an expected summit in late May or early June to discuss dismantling the North's nuclear program in exchange for security guarantees. VOA Asia's Ira Melman spoke about this with Andrea Taylor of the Atlantic Council's Hari Center for the Middle East.
I think that the U.S.'s latest actions alongside the U.K. and France actually increases our leverage and will assist with negotiating with North Korea. I believe that the U.S. decision to respond with force when we said that we would not tolerate the use of chemical weapons then demonstrates that the United States will follow through with what it says it will.
So what is your reasoning behind your view of what the North Korea reasoning might be?
Ultimately, the North Korea needs to be considering what is the potential cost for their actions, whether their actions are continuing to do what they're doing now, or if their actions are proceeding with negotiating with the U.S. and potentially denuclearizing. So with the actions by the U.S. in Syria, it's shown that North Korea should be considering as a potential cause is U.S. response with the use of force if they do not follow through with the agreement.
North Korea, as you know, has long justified the need for its nuclear program by pointing to what happened to Muammar Gaddafi in Libya. He was overthrown and killed by U.S. and NATO-backed rebel forces just a few years after he agreed to give up his country's nuclear weapons. How do you factor that in?
The action to give up nuclear weapons would have to be a part of a more concerted effort of North Korea to align itself more closely with what are considered international norms. And with that, if they did decide to denuclearize, I expect it would be in conjunction with other actions that they might take that would reduce the likelihood of the international community deciding that they would push for something like regime change.
How do you answer those who say they might go the other way and look for it as a need for nuclear deterrence?
Obviously, it requires that there be pressure on North Korea to denuclearize. But if in that process there is some mechanism or some steps that they are pressuring North Korea to take and a mechanism to enforce that, then North Korea should, given the latest action by the U.S. and its allies, expect that those steps will be taken to enforce the agreement.
VOA Asia's Ira Melman speaking with Andrea Taylor of the Atlantic Council's Hariri Center for the Middle East. Video obtained by VOA's Korean service earlier this month shows a group of North Korean laborers entering China in a possible violation of United Nations sanctions. The video, which has not been properly authenticated by VOA, raises some new concerns over the sincerity of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's recent diplomatic overtures. Jesus Manoni has more.
North Korea's Kim Jong-un is showing the world a different side, easing a strained relationship with Beijing, watching a soccer match with the head of the International Olympic Committee, and attending a rare K-pop concert in Pyongyang. But these images of North Korean workers reportedly crossing the border into China have raised new questions. The video captured on April 2nd was distributed by a North Korean refugee aid group, but has yet to be authenticated. The UN Security Council has imposed increasingly tough sanctions against Pyongyang in a bid to cut off funding to its nuclear and ballistic missile programs. In addition to import and export restrictions, UN member countries are also required not to give work permits to new North Korean laborers and to send existing workers home.
Some Chinese companies are really short of workers. North Korean workers are dirt cheap. They want to have them. So they can bribe, they can make all kinds of deals in China that can break Chinese rules. Now, I wouldn't put it past China to be able to tell Kim Jong-un or tell North Korea, look, we're going to bend the rules.
A UN panel of investigators reported in March that Pyongyang has repeatedly evaded sanctions on oil and gas imports and continues to engage in illegal exports. Kim's trip to Beijing has also raised concerns that China may attempt to ease international restrictions against Pyongyang. Sources tell VOA's Korean service the Chinese border control has already pulled back in some rural areas of the North Korean border since Kim's visit.
I suspect a lot of this is going on all the time, that North Koreans are sneaking over, finding Chinese employers who want to employ them and making some kind of deal. I suspect the Chinese government has a hard time controlling all that, just like our government has a hard time with illegal immigrants. They would have a hard time also.
The growing rift between the United States and China over trade issues could have an adverse effect on efforts to rein in North Korea's nuclear program.
With regards to China, I think that there does need to be within the administration a sense of prioritization. Are trade issues most important? Are security issues most important? If we want Chinese cooperation, what is the trade space that he's prepared to think about with regards to these other issues?
China insists it's in full compliance with international obligations against North Korea. Jesus Semeoni, VOA News, Washington.
Coming up, concerns for many of Australia's military veterans. You're listening to VOA Asia. This news from VOA Asia, top Japanese finance official Junichi Fukuda is denying sexual harassment allegations and has vowed to sue a weekly magazine's publisher for defamation. The allegations come amid a string of controversies surrounding dodgy financial deals facing Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for the latest developments to see and share. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, almost half of the Australian military personnel who have left the Defence Force in the past 5 years have some sort of mental disorder, according to a new study. Phil Mercer in Sydney reports the Australian government says it is the most comprehensive study ever undertaken in Australia of the effect of military service on the mental, physical, and social health of veterans, including those who have served in Iraq and Afghanistan.
For many former Australian servicemen and women, adapting to civilian life can be tough. According to a new study by the Department of Veterans Affairs, about half suffer debilitating conditions that include anxiety and depression. Some retired soldiers, however, believe the true number of those affected is much higher. Robin Lee was in the Australian Army for 14 years and served in Iraq and Afghanistan. He was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder before he left the military in 2015. He says the system for helping veterans with mental health issues is poor.
These men are serving, getting problems. They know they have problems, but they have to go through a recognition process that is just disgusting, being mishandled at every level.
The Australian government acknowledges that leaving the military can be a daunting and challenging experience. The Veterans Affairs Minister is Darren Chester.
The government is determined to put veterans and their health at the centre of everything we do. We're putting veterans first, we're putting veterans' families first. In a nutshell, the research we're releasing today is confirming that we're heading in the right direction, but more needs to be done to assist veterans and their families during the critical transition of period to civilian life.
Ministers say that free treatment for any mental health condition is now available to all veterans. The research into the mental and physical impact of Australia's military service is continuing. The Australian Defence Force comprises the Navy, Army and Air Force. It has more than 100,000 personnel, including permanent military personnel, reservists and civilian employees. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Singapore is an interesting place to spend some time, and if you happen to be spending time there, spend a little time listening to us on Media Biz Radio, Temasek Polytechnic at Singapore. We thank everyone there who is listening today, and wherever you may happen to have caught our program, like online, iTunes and SoundCloud is a great place to download our program. You can hear us streaming each and every day on VOA Asia Facebook and our website, voanews.com. We'd like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, engineer, Zeynep Abdel-Rahman, our managing editor, Diane Gao, Skylar Ogden, David Bird, and Ira Melman on our VOA Asia team. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead.